the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. We do spend a lot of time here on the program talking about health, from the cost of healthcare to how to stay healthy. There is a reason for that, especially as it relates to planning for retirement. The three big ticket items that you are going to spend your money on in retirement are shelter, taxes, and ta-da-da, healthcare. And the one expense of these that can really deplete you and leave you dead broke is health care. And so what we would like to do on today's program is discuss how to defeat this. Now, let's start with a couple of facts. The average couple, 65 years old, when they retire, will spend $260,000 out of pocket for health care in retirement. Number two, Medicare premiums were increased to $134 or more, depending on your tax bracket this year. Medicare deductible has been increased to $1,340, and the trend is clear. Premiums and costs are rising and are only going to get more expensive as you get older, and probably, Jim, also as the government admits that it can't pay for as much as it's paying for now as far as Medicare goes. So they're going to be transferring more of those costs back on the patient themselves. So where do we go from here, given all of that?
Well, you know, you've heard of these stories about people running out of money or dying broke as they age, and no one, John, wants to run out of money as you get older. I mean, running out of money can be painful, if not devastating. And the one event that could lead to that tragedy more than anything else you will face in retirement is healthcare expenses. And you can avoid this event of running out of money and finding yourself broke if you have a plan. And that's the key. Now, the problem here is most people don't know how to plan for that, so they need some help. And that is what we're going to do on today's show. What we hope to do is provide you with some knowledge and some ideas that can help you navigate and avoid this type of event occurring in the middle of your retirement. And I've told the story several times on the air, John, but we had a client whose mother was doing very well in retirement. She had enough money between Social Security, her husband's pension, and some savings that they had and some investments. She was doing okay until she had a stroke, and she was diagnosed with dementia and Alzheimer's. And then all of a sudden, they were faced with over $6,000 a month in monthly expenses from long-term care and assisted living. This is something that wasn't planned for, because in that family, people lived longer. They were healthy. She never had a heart attack, never had any kind of sign of anything very serious. And all of a sudden, here's the stroke. So all of a sudden, there's an event that comes in that changes her whole lifestyle that wasn't planned for. And that's the thing you don't want to find yourself in, is all of a sudden you're 10 years into retirement, one of you gets sick, diagnosed with something serious, and all of a sudden there's additional expenses that weren't in the budget.
Well, rolling up our sleeves then, we have to jump into this whole thing. How do you parse it out and then lay up a plan that will let you, you know, achieve the goal of having some level of security here?
Well, I mean, we talk about this any time you're talking about either retirement planning, financial planning, you have to start with a budget. I mean, you need to know what your expenses are going to be. And then this is something that's often left out in many retirement plans. Once you have your budget, you need to add an extra amount to cover future healthcare cost. And this is something that most people don't think about, John, because, you know, you're 65. Let's assume that both of you are in good health. You're not thinking of maybe running into long-term care problems 10, 15, or 20 years from now, or the fact that one of you may get seriously ill. So if you put together your budget, you need to add a minimum, and I say a minimum, of $6,000 to $8,000 to that budget in savings or investments to plan for future health care cost. Because if you don't plan for it, if you're spending what's coming in, you're not putting money aside What are you going to do when that event arrives? And that's the thing that can put you into a situation where you find yourself running out of money. Now, since this is a long-term plan, you're talking about saving for something that might occur 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I like putting that money into equity stock funds that can grow over time, or a fixed annuity that is a no-load annuity that can be annuitized if you need long-term care. And if you live long enough, chances are one of you will. And the best planning device to do this, bar none, if you don't know about it, you need to familiarize yourself with it. It's called a health savings account. This is a special program that the government allows you, and you can put money into the plan. Right now, the limit is $3,400 per person per year, $6,750 for a family, and an extra $1,000 as a catch-up provision if you are age 55 and older. So you can put almost $8,000 a year away into this account. Now, why is this one of the best vehicles you can use? The reason being is when you use the money for qualified medical expenses, it is tax-free. So right now, if you are 15, 10, or 5 years away from retirement, this is the best planning vehicle, bar none, that you should be setting up now, because it's tax advantaged. And this is a way for you to accumulate money tax free so you can use it later on. The great thing about these HSIs is that if you use them for qualified medical expenses, you don't pay any taxes. And included in qualified medical expenses are things like dental care and vision care expenses that are not covered by Medicare. So, you know, as you get old, I just had a client who just called our office, and we had to send a check out for over 12 grand for dental expenses. You know, I don't need to tell you, if you're getting crowns, root canal, or whatever it is, your fillings redone, that could cost a lot of money. And what about eye care? These are things that aren't covered by Medicare. Well, guess what? You can pay for them tax-free with the health savings account. So the sooner that you set up one for you and your spouse, or if you're just by yourself, you're a single individual, the better off you're going to be. John, I cannot think of a single vehicle for handling long-term care, medical expenses out of retirement, than a health savings vehicle. It just amazes me how few people take advantage of this and set up an account to pay their medical expenses tax-free. I mean, think of your age 50 and you're putting aside $7,000 or almost $8,000 if you're married. Think of what that money is going to grow to later on in life if you have enough period of time. And let me just give you a sample of what I mean. If you're putting aside, let's be conservative, let's just say $7,000 a year, and you're putting that aside, let's say you're age 50, so you do it for 15 years. So we'll put 15 years, and let's be real conservative and say 6% rate of return. You know what you're going to have? You're going to have $163,000 available to you when you start out your retirement age 65. Now, when you start out, you're probably not going to use it right away. So let's say that you continue to do that. You just leave it alone. You let it accumulate. So what happens is maybe you're going to draw on it maybe 10 years, 15 years from your retirement. Let's just average, since a couple is age 65, life expectancy between two of you is 25 years. So let's just allow that $163,000 to accumulate for another 15 years. By the time you draw on it, it'll have grown to $390,000, more than enough to cover your healthcare expenses throughout retirement. So you can see how powerful a savings vehicle that is. And, you know, if you're age 50, age 55, 60, and you're working, you need to talk to your advisor about setting up a health savings account vehicle because there's nothing out there that is going to beat that. And so that is something, John, that is almost a must in good healthcare planning and retirement planning.
Okay, so let's assume that we're doing that, Jim, and we've got that one checked off. What's next on the list?
Next on the list is you need to familiarize yourself with Medicare, and you need to take the time to determine what your needs are, whether you go with regular Medicare, whether you go with Part D prescription drugs, whether you go with Medicare Advantage, and then also what kind of Medigap insurance you're going to pick that suits your needs and what's available in terms of where you live. Now, everybody gets Part A. That's the hospital plan, and that's hospital insurance. What we're talking about is Part B, which is physician coverage. So you need to look at Part B. You need to understand Medicare Advantage, if you would prefer that or be better off with it, and Part D on drug coverage if you need it. And then also, there's literally about 15 to 20 different Medigap insurance policies. So you need to familiarize yourself what's available to you where you live in the state you live in, because they differ by states. And you need to go, and I want you to write this down. You need to go to Medicare.gov. And familiarize yourself. Go to the, on the top of the right hand side of the page is a resource site. You need to go to that, type in Medicare, type in Medigap insurance, and you need to read the booklets. There is a wealth of information that is available to you. And the first thing you need to do is become familiar with it, so that you get the basic gist or understand when to file, how to file, what kind of policies are in your neighborhood, what your benefits are going to be, what it's going to cost you. So you have an idea of what this is all about. And for many of you that are single, and especially you women that are out there listening, there is one of the best booklets you can ever read for a woman, because you know what? 85% of Medicare survivors are women. So if you're a woman, that includes you, and you most likely will end up being the survivor. And so you need to go and get that booklet. And even if you are married, you also need to get that, because you need to know so that you and your husband make the right choices that will take care of you, because more than likely, 85% of the time, you as a woman are going to end up being the survivor. And the name of that booklet is called What Every Woman Needs to Know. Now, once you've read and understood the basics, you need to discuss them with an experienced advisor, because you're going to have a multiplicity of choices to make on your Medigap insurance, whether you go with Medicare Part B, whether you go to Medicare Advantage, whether you get drug Part D. So you need to select the best options in Medicare and the healthcare provider, because Medicare is going to be your main insurance. Just as if you worked for the government or you work in the private sector, you had a health insurance policy. Well, when you retire, that health insurance policy is Medicare. So these are the things that you need to do that are basic, and you need to include them.
Let's run down this checklist again. Number one, you want to start with a budget. Number two, you should plan on putting in to that budget into savings $6,000 to $8,000 a year for future healthcare costs. And you would do that in a health savings account, which makes it tax deferred in many, many states or at the federal level, depending on what your situation is. All right. So we've done all of that. Where do we move on from here?
You know, long-term care costs can run, I mean, if you think about it, depending on where you live, I know here in California, it can run as high as $8,000 a month, but generally, you can figure around $6,000 to $8,000 a month. My client in Arizona, their mother was paying $6,000 a month for a halfway decent facility. And the biggest risk for long-term care is when both spouses are living. Because what happens if you have to put one spouse into a long care facility? What are you doing? You're maintaining two households. You're maintaining the household expenses of the well spouse, and then you're also having to shell out every month the additional expenses for the one that needs assisted care. So this is where you are at your greatest risk. Now, If you get down to a single spouse, and let's say it's the wife that survives, it's a little bit easier because then you're only going to maintain one household. And if you have a home, what'll end up happening is whoever is responsible for you will end up selling your house, and that money will be used to take care of your long-term care expenses. So the big risk is when both are living.
Yeah. How do you handle that anyway, Jim?
You know, here's the good news. There's probably 6 or 7 ways to pay for long-term care expense. The first one is what we call long-term care policies. Now, the younger you are, obviously, the cheaper the expenses. But John, you're going to run into risk here because premiums have been going up on existing policies. Companies that started long-term care policies did not figure out on longevity and how much money they'd have to pay out. You know, General Electric just lost $8 billion on a write-off on their long-term care insurance. So a lot of companies have been dropping the coverage. They're literally losing billions of dollars. So it's not as secure as you once thought because, I think it was last week, the Wall Street Journal did a story about a lot of these policies and the people that own them are, you know, a little bit dismayed at the fact that their premiums have been going up quite substantially. The companies are losing a fortune in this business, and that's why you're going to have a hard time. There's fewer and fewer carriers to select from. But bear in mind, chances are if you get a policy, you could see premium increases going forward. So that is probably the first option. The second option we just talked about, health savings account. You know, I can't think and overstress this enough. It's just like the Roth IRA where you get tax-free income. I mean, folks, you know, next to healthcare and shelter, taxes are going to be a big expense. So if you can pay for your healthcare expenses and have it tax-free, if you can build up an investment account that grows and accumulates tax-free, why would you not want to have one? So, I mean, if you're listening right now and you don't have one, let me suggest, if you're 10, 15, 20 years away from retirement, set one up. It is never too late because whatever money is put in there, it compounds and grows. So the longer you allow it to compound, the more money you're going to have. And so it is just my favorite vehicle for handling healthcare expenses in retirement. Anytime you can get something that grows tax-free and you can spend it tax-free, there's no taxes on dividends, interest, capital gains. Why would you not want to have one?
You know, those seem like pretty logical choices, but you said there was something more.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's the good news about long-term care. There's several ways you can handle it. We talked about 2, a long-term care policy. 2, a health savings account. 3 is annuities. You can build up or put money in annuity for yourself, or, you know, we like to use them where you put one on the wife and one on the husband, because you don't know who's going to end up in a long-term care facility. I mean, you simply don't. And what you do is you allow them to accumulate tax deferred. And then what happens is one spouse gets sick and you annuitize them to pay for the health care. So you're getting principal and interest back over time. So they're going to be partially sheltered. Not as good as a health savings account, but, you know, good enough. Let's just take an example. Just say you have, I don't know, $100,000 in a policy, you annuitize it, and the sixth spouse is in a facility for 3 years. What you usually do is you do like a 5 or 10 year certain so that if the spouse eventually passes away, the one that needs the care, then the remainder goes to the surviving spouse. So annuities is another great option. The other thing that we have done recently is there are a lot of times people have like whole life insurance policies, and what you can do is convert them into what is called a living care or long-term care with a rider. So let's say you have a $100,000 policy. Well, the insurance company knows they're going to pay the $100,000 to your estate if you die. So what you do is you convert it into something that pays you tax-free money to take care of your long-term care expenses. So using an existing paid-up policy or life insurance policy, is another great way to take care of long-term care expenses. A fifth one, and you see ads on this all the time, is a reverse mortgage. Let's say you're in a home. It's free and clear. It's paid for. Well, where are you going to get the extra money if the well spouse stays in the home and then the one that is sick that needs assisted living is in a long-term care facility? Getting a reverse mortgage on the house, which allows the well spouse to stay there the rest of her life, is another option that's available. Now, the other one, which is really great if you have the bucks, is to go into a retirement home. And what happens is you go into a retirement home, and many of these retirement homes, let's say you have a one or two bedroom apartment, they have a medical facility on campus or in the same facility. So if, you know, let's say one person needs assisted care, they can go right into the medical facility. You don't have to move. You don't have to find a new place, and they can stay there as long as they're sick. And that's included in the policy. So, I mean, if you have the bucks, that's probably one of the best. And the other thing about it is you can write off some of these for tax benefits. So the facility's right there. You don't have to worry about having to move, going out and trying to find a place. And sometimes medically, let's say a spouse has a heart attack, a stroke or something, they are in that facility only temporarily until they get well enough, and hopefully they do. And that's the nice thing about it, because then if they get well, they move back into the apartment and the two of you are together. So, John, those are six things that you can do to handle long-term care. The health savings account and annuity works for long-term care, and it has some tax benefits. Long-term care policies, you need to take them out younger, but just bear in mind, you may be subject to increased premiums because these companies are losing a lot of money because people are staying in these facilities for a longer period of time. People are getting older, they're living longer, so they're more apt to end up in a long-term care facility. And so when these policies were first issued, they didn't have a lot of good data in terms of how to price them. And so that's why a lot of companies have pulled out and they've just lost a tremendous amount. And so, you know, I like to look at things that are more permanent and more predictable, which is why I like either health savings accounts, annuities, converting life insurance policies, a reverse mortgage or a retirement home are better ways to plan for long-term care than a policy itself. Because, you know, when most people think about it, it's usually too late. The premiums are more expensive. You know, you need to be thinking about it when you're age 50, not when you're 65 or 70.
So let's do a summary here on the six ways of dealing with long-term care. Number one, you can buy a long-term healthcare policy. Number two, healthcare savings account. I've got one. We use it. Number three, annuities. Four, you can convert life insurance. Five, use a reverse mortgage if you have total equity or a lot of equity in your home. Number six, retirement home. That is one way of doing it. Or assisted living. That's one way. But the bottom line here, again, is there are really two things. Number one, stay as healthy as you can while you can. And number two, have a plan. Work this one through. Don't let it fall down to default.
You know the one irony, John, about staying healthy, and we cover a lot of issues in terms of how to help you stay healthy, is the longer you live, the healthier you are, you're going to live longer. And the longer you live, the odds of going into a long-term care facility increase. So the irony of this is if you stay healthy, you're probably likely to end up in a long-term care facility because you're going to live longer. And of course, you start getting into your 80s and 90s, the odds of being in a long-term care facility, which is what happened to my client whose mother was in Arizona. I mean, she was in her 80s when this event hit. So the longer you live, the increasing odds, which is why you need to have a plan.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, since we've been talking about health, Jeff Cotterman is Jim's guest, and the subject is looking at the myths of fats and carbs when it comes to heart disease and to diets. And now it's time for our weekly real-life illustration here. This is a hypothetical illustration, which illustrate, that's why it's called an illustration, what Jim is talking about here on the program based on real-life examples, but the names and circumstances have been changed to protect privacy, obviously, and we have slides online at financialsense.com, which do illustrate the points we're making here on the program.
This week's case is Edward and Amy White. Ed is age 65. Amy is age 61. Both hope to retire in the next couple of years. Longevity runs on both sides of their family. Ed's life expectancy is age 90. Amy is age 95. Their risk tolerance is moderately conservative, which is not unusual. Now, let's give you a little background. Ed is an engineer. He's worked as an engineer for a large defense contractor here his entire career. He's considering retiring, given that he has seen many buyouts and is involved in another. Retiring soon is an appealing proposition since he desires to spend more time with his spouse and friends, living a very comfortable lifestyle and getting to do a lot of the things that he wasn't able to do during his working career, like trips, long overseas trips, especially to Europe and Asia, hobbies like sailing and golfing. Ed cares not to change his lifestyle heading into retirement. That's a big thing for both of them. He has a heart condition, has already had bypass surgery that could potentially require additional procedures in the future. After some major losses, he's decided to use us as an advisor because he's been a little bit overzealous in taking risk, and obviously heading into retirement, he can't afford those kind of losses. Amy has worked for a small CPA firm. She's excited about getting to retirement. For a period of time, Amy had to use her own money to support her parents, who both ran out of money trying to manage their health issues. One of the reasons why we're covering this issue today. The majority of her parents' money was spent in the latter years of their lives when they found out that Amy's dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Amy wants to retire soon with the hopes that she can spend more time with her family, do the things that they like sailing and golf. But in the back of her mind, she says, I don't want to end up like my parents. So healthcare is a big issue. So what was important to both of them was they want to get ready to retire. They want to be able to maintain purchasing power. In other words, they don't want to see a diminished lifestyle as they age, and they want to maintain and be able to take care of medical expenses. And that is something I can't stress over enough. If you end up running out of money, it's going to be healthcare that brings that about. If you take a look at their budget, close to $100,000 on essentials and about $50,000 on discretionary. Ed's salary was $160,000. Amy's was $50,000. So $210,000 surplus of about $64,000. So they had a good savings account. They figured that when they retired, the budget would be reduced, probably down to about $80,000. Discretionary was going to stay about the same. Sailing, golf, taking more trips, so nothing was going to change there. So expenses would drop down to roughly about $130,000 a year. They will have $45,000 in Social Security with a shortfall of almost $90,000. Their primary residence was $650,000 in terms of its value. They had a $100,000 mortgage left on it. Ed's retirement assets were $1.9 million, including a large chunk in the company stock. Amy's retirement was $128,000, and they had a little over $1 million in their joint account. So they had a portfolio of about $3 million, and their liabilities were only $100,000. In terms of the challenges of the plan, was creating enough cash flow to maintain the same standard of living and managing the risk of longevity and healthcare expenses, especially what Amy went through with her parents. And of course, once again, the sequence of risk return risk, which is going through a bear market at the beginning of retirement. You know, they had built up their assets. They saw those assets drop tremendously during the financial crisis between 2007 and 2009. And so the last thing Ed and Amy wanted to do was go through that when they begin their retirement, which would be about 3 years from now. And we could very well be in a bear market and a recession. What we did is we did a balanced portfolio between bonds that were laddered, interest sensitive bonds, meaning that they were interest rate floaters. So as interest rates go up, they would have increasing income, some dividend paying stocks, total investment income of roughly about $95,000 that would produce roughly about $140,000 a year against their expenses, which included all the things they like to do, trips, golf, sailing. They would have a surplus of about $6,500 a year. And what was the number I told you need to add to your budget every year? about $6,000 to $8,000, so we're right in the ballpark. So the next thing that we did is we recommended Ed continue to work for another 18 to 24 months to help increase the retirement nest egg, because he had matching contributions in his 401k plan at work, and reduce the risk of retiring in a near bear market. We also advised that Ed sign up for Medicare Advantage plan and Amy sign up for a high deductible individual policy upon retirement, given her age. And the reason we did that is they had enough assets to cover, you know, any short-term medical expenses. You know, what we were more concerned about was a major medical expense. And so this way, it would lower her costs. We also recommended that Amy set up an HSA and max out her contributions to help manage future medical expenses. In addition, we suggested that Amy and Ed change their investments to a conservative, well-diversified portfolio and reduce Ed's exposure, because more than 10% of their net worth was in one company stock. And you never want to have a large concentration in any one particular stock or asset. So given Amy's long life expectancy, we advised that Ed delay his Social Security to increase his benefits. And upon Ed's passing, Amy would opt to receive the monthly benefit, maximizing her cash flow for the remainder of her life. And so these are the things that we did. Once again, medical expenses. You don't want to run out of money. And the easiest way to make sure that never happens to you is you plan for medical expenses. And if you don't have one now, you should set up a health savings account.
And again, coming up tomorrow on the show, Jeff Kotterman looking at the myths of fat and carbs when it comes to heart disease and to diets. So speaking of looking, we're looking forward some weeks. What do you see coming down the pike here?
You know, we're probably going to get a little bit more into some tax planning. We're going to talk about a Roth IRAs, Roth conversions. We're going to talk about more on tax-free planning. And also, we got to talk about this tax law. John, this is probably the biggest thing that has come along in three decades. And I don't think people are fully understanding its implications. You're seeing it reflected in the stock market. It's one of the reasons your account is growing as big as it is. And we want to make sure that you protect that, because you don't want to go through another downturn. So a lot of things to discuss as we go forward. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.